I have to suck up to relatives that you hated because they had money and all you had was a bunch of hand-me-down clothes and a few old molded 3% government bonds. My daddy loved his liquor. He fell in love with his liquor, the way you've fallen in love with Echo Spring. And my poor mama, having to maintain some semblance of social position to keep appearances up on an income of $150 a month on those old government bonds. When I came out, the year that I made my debut, I had just two evening dresses. One mother made me from a pattern in Vogue, the other a hand-me-down from a snotty rich cousin I hated. The dress that I married you in was my grandmother's wedding gown. So that's why I'm like a cat on a hot tin roof. Brick is still on the gallery. Someone below calls up to him in a warm Negro voice.
Hiya, Mr. Brick. How you feeling?
Brick raises his liquor glass as if that answered the question. Margaret, you can be young without money, but you can't be old without it. You got to be old with money because to be old without it is just too awful. You've got to be one or the other, either young or with money. You can't be old and without it. That's the truth, Brick. Brick whistles softly, vaguely. Well, now I'm dressed. I'm all dressed. There's nothing else for me to do. Forlornly, almost fearfully. I'm dressed. All dressed. Nothing else for me to do. She moves about restlessly, aimlessly, and speaks as if to herself. I know when I made my mistake. What am I? Oh, my bracelets. She starts working a collection of bracelets over her hands onto her wrists, about six on each, as she talks. I thought a whole lot about it, and now I know when I made my mistake. Yes, I made my mistake when I told you the truth about that thing with Skipper. Never should have confessed it, a fatal error, telling you about that thing with Skipper. Brick. Maggie, shut up about Skipper. I mean it. Maggie, you just shut up about Skipper. Margaret. You ought to understand that Skipper and I... Brick. You don't think I'm serious, Maggie? You're fooled by the fact that I'm saying this quiet. Look, Maggie, what you're doing is a dangerous thing to do. You're fooling with something that nobody ought to fool with. Margaret. This time, I'm going to finish what I have to say to you. Skipper and I made love, if love you could call it, because it made both of us feel a little bit closer to you. You see, you son of a... You ask too much of people, of me, of him, of all the unlucky poor damn sons of... that happened to love you. And there was a whole pack of them. Yeah, there was a pack of them besides me and Skipper. You ask too damn much of people that loved you. You superior creature. You godlike being. And so we made love to each other to dream it was you, both of us. Yes, yes, yes. Truth, truth. What's so awful about it? I like it. I think the truth is, yeah, I shouldn't have told you. Brick, holding his head unnaturally still and up-tilted a bit. It was Skipper that told me about it, not you, Maggie. Margaret. I told you. Brick. After he told me. Margaret. What does it matter who? Brick turns suddenly out upon the gallery and calls. Brick. Little girl. Hey, little girl. Girl at a distance.
What, Uncle Brick?
Brick. Tell the folks to come up. Bring everybody upstairs. Margaret. I can't stop myself. I'd go on telling you this in front of them all if I had to. Brick. Little girl. Go on, will you? Do what I told you. Call 'em. Margaret. Because it's got to be told, and you never let me. She sobs, then controls herself and continues almost calmly. It was one of those beautiful, ideal things they tell about in the Greek legends. It couldn't be anything else, you being you, and that's what made it so sad. That's what made it so awful, because it was love that never could be carried through to anything satisfying or even talked about plainly. Brick, I tell you, you got to believe me. Brick, I do understand all about it. I think it was noble. Can't you tell I'm sincere when I say I respect it? My only point, the only point that I'm making, is life has got to be allowed to continue even after the dream of life is all over. Brick is without his crutch, leaning on furniture. He crosses to pick it up as she continues, as if possessed by a will outside herself.
Why, I remember when we double-dated at college, Gladys Fitzgerald and I and you and Skipper, it was more like a date between you and Skipper. Gladys and I were just sort of tagging along as if it was necessary to chaperone you, to make a good public impression.
Brick turns to face her, half-lifting his crutch. Maggie, you want me to hit you with this crutch? Don't you know I could kill you with this crutch?
Margaret, good Lord, man, do you think I'd care if you did?
Brick, one man has one great good true thing in his life. One great good thing which is true. I had friendship with Skipper. You're naming it dirty.
Margaret, I'm not naming it dirty. I'm naming it clean.
Brick, not love with you, Maggie, but friendship with Skipper was that one great true thing, and you're naming it dirty.
Margaret, then you haven't been listening, not understood what I'm saying. I'm naming it so damn clean that it killed poor Skipper. You two had something that had to be kept on ice, yes, incorruptible, yes, and death was the only icebox where you could keep it.
Brick, I married you, Maggie. Why would I marry you, Maggie, if I was...
Margaret, Brick, don't brain me yet. Let me finish. I know, believe me, I know that it was only Skipper that harbored even any unconscious desire for anything not perfectly pure between you two. Now, let me skip a little. You married me early that summer. We graduated at Ole Miss, and we were happy, weren't we? We were blissful, yes, hit heaven together every time that we loved. But that fall, you and Skipper turned down wonderful offers of jobs in order to keep on being football heroes, pro football heroes. You organized the Dixie Stars that fall so you could keep on being teammates forever. But something wasn't right with it, me included, between you. Skipper began hitting the bottle. You got a spinal injury, couldn't play the Thanksgiving game in Chicago, watched it on TV from a traction bed in Toledo. I joined Skipper. The Dixie Stars lost because poor Skipper was a drunk. We drank together that night, all night in the bar of the Blackstone, and when cold day was coming up over the lake and we were coming out drunk to take a dizzy look at it, I said, Skipper, stop loving my husband or tell him he's got to let you admit it to him, one way or another. He slapped me hard on the mouth, then turned and ran without stopping once, I'm sure all the way back into his room at the Blackstone. When I came to his room that night with a little scratch like a shy little mouse at his door, he made that pitiful, ineffectual little attempt to prove that what I had said wasn't true.
Brick strikes at her with the crutch, a blow that shatters the gem-like lamp on the table.
In this way, I destroyed him by telling him truth that he and his world, which he was born and raised in, yours and his world, had told him could not be told. From then on, Skipper was nothing at all but a receptacle for liquor and drugs. Who shot Cock Robin? I, with my...
She throws back her head with tight-shut eyes.
Merciful arrow!
Brick strikes at her. Misses.
Miss me. Sorry, I'm not trying to whitewash my behavior. Christ, no. Brick, I'm not good. I don't know why people have to pretend to be good. Nobody's good. The rich or the well-to-do can afford to respect moral patterns, conventional moral patterns, but I could never afford to. Yeah, but I'm honest. Give me credit for just that, will you please? Born poor, raised poor, expect to die poor unless I manage to get us something out of what Big Daddy leaves when he dies of cancer. But Brick, Skipper's dead. I'm alive.
Maggie the cat is... Brick hops awkwardly forward and strikes at her again with his crutch.
Alive! I am alive! I am!
He hurls the crutch at her across the bed she took refuge behind and pitches forward on the floor as she completes her speech.
Alive!
A little girl, Dixie, bursts into the room wearing an Indian war bonnet and firing a cat pistol at Margaret and shouting,
Bang! Bang! Bang!
Laughter downstairs floats through the open ball door. Margaret had crouched, gasping, to bed at child's entrance. She now rises and says with cool fury,
Little girl, your mother or someone should teach you,
gasping,
to knock at a door before you come into a room. Otherwise, people might think that you lack good breeding.
Dixie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is Uncle Brick doing on the floor?
Brick. I tried to kill your Aunt Maggie, but I failed, and I fell.
Little girl, give me my crutch so I can get up off the floor.
Margaret.
Yes, give your uncle his crutch. He's a cripple, honey. He broke his ankle last night jumping hurdles on the high school athletic field.
Dixie.
What were you jumping hurdles for, Uncle Brick?
Brick. Because I used to jump 'em, and people like to do what they used to do, even after they've stopped being able to do it.
Margaret. That's right. That's your answer. Now go away, little girl.
Dixie fires cap pistol at Margaret 3 times.
Stop! You stop that monster! You little no-neck monster!
She seizes the cap pistol and hurls it through the gallery doors.
Dixie, with a precocious instinct for the cruelest thing, you're jealous. You're just jealous because you can't have babies.
She sticks out her tongue at Margaret as she sashays past her with her stomach stuck out to the gallery. Margaret slams the gallery doors and leans panting against them. There's a pause. Brick has replaced his split drink and sits far away on the great four-poster bed.
Margaret. You see, they gloat over us being childless, even in front of the 5 little no-neck monsters.
Pause. Voices approach on the stairs.
Brick, I've been to a doctor in Memphis, a gynecologist. I've been completely examined, and there's no reason why we can't have a child whenever we want one. And this is my time by the calendar to conceive. Are you listening to me? Are you? Are you listening to me?
Brick. Yeah, I hear you, Maggie. His attention returns to her inflamed face. But how in hell on earth do you imagine that you're going to have a child by a man that can't stand you?
Margaret. That's a problem that I will have to work out.
She wheels about to face the hall door.
Here they come.
The lights dim. Curtain.
Act 3. Note. This was the original third act. An updated version is found at the end of this Act 3, along with William's explanation. There is no lapse of time. May enters with Reverend Tooker.
May.
Where is Big Daddy? Big Daddy?
Big Mama entering.
Too much smell of burnt fireworks makes me feel a little bit sick at my stomach. Where is Big Daddy?
May.
That's what I want to know. Where has Big Daddy gone?
Big Mama.
He must have turned in. I reckon he went to bed.
Gooper enters.
Gooper. Where's Big Daddy?
May.
We don't know where he is.
Big Mama.
I reckon he's gone to bed.
Gooper.
Well then, now we can talk.
Big Mama.
What is this talk? What talk?
Margaret appears on gallery, talking to Dr. Baugh. Margaret, musically.
My family freed their slaves 10 years before abolition. My great-great-grandfather gave his slaves their freedom 5 years before the war between the states started.
May.
Oh, for God's sake, Maggie's climbed back up in her family tree.
Margaret, sweetly.
What, May? Oh, where's Big Daddy?
The pace must be very quick. Great Southern animation. Big Mama. Addressing them all.
I think Big Daddy was just worn out. He loves his family. He loves to have them around him, but it's a strain on his nerves. He wasn't himself tonight. Big Daddy wasn't himself. I could tell he was all worked up.
Reverend Tooker.
I think he's remarkable.
Big Mama.
Yes, just remarkable. Did you all notice the food he ate at that table? Did you all notice the supper he put away? Why, he ate like a horse.
Gooper.
I hope he doesn't regret it.
Big Mama.
Why, that man ate a huge piece of cornbread with molasses on it. Helped himself twice to Hoppin' John.
Margaret.
Big Daddy loves Hoppin' John. We had a real country dinner.
Big Mama, overlapping Margaret.
Yes, he simply adores it. And candied yams? That old man put away enough food at that table to stuff a field hand.
Cooper, with grim relish.
I hope we don't have to pay for it later on.
Big Mama, fiercely.
What's that, Gooper?
May.
Gooper says he hopes Big Daddy doesn't suffer tonight.
Big Mama.
Oh, shoot, Gooper says. Why should Big Daddy suffer for satisfying a normal appetite? There's nothing wrong with that man but nerves. He's sound as a dollar. And now he knows he is, and that's why he ate such a supper. He had a big load off his mind, knowing he wasn't doomed to...
what he thought he was doomed to?
Margaret, sadly and sweetly.
Bless his old sweet soul.
Big Mama, vaguely.
Yes, bless his heart. Where's Brick?
May.
Outside.
Gooper.
Drinking?
Big Mama.
I know he's drinking. You all don't have to keep telling me Brick's a-drinking. Can't I see he's drinking without you continually telling me that boy's drinking?
Margaret.
Good for you, Big Mama.
She applauds.
Big Mama. Other people drink and have drunk and will drink as long as they make that stuff and put it in bottles.
Margaret.
That's the truth. I never trusted a man that didn't drink.
May.
Gooper never drinks. Don't you trust Gooper?
Margaret.
Why, Gooper, don't you drink? If I'd known you didn't drink, I wouldn't have made that remark.
Big Mama.
Brick.
Margaret.
At least not in your presence.
She laughs sweetly. Big Mama.
Brick!
Margaret.
He's still on the gallery. I'll go bring him in so we can talk.
Big Mama, worriedly.
I don't know what this mysterious family conference is about.
Awkward silence. Big Mama looks from face to face, then belches slightly and mutters,
Excuse me.
She opens an ornamental fan suspended about her throat, a black lace fan to go with her black lace gown, and fans her wilting corsage, sniffing nervously and looking from face to face in the uncomfortable silence as Margaret calls,
Brick,
and Brick sings to the moon on the gallery.
I don't know what's wrong here. You all have such long faces. Open that door on the hall and let some air circulate through here. Will you please, Gooper?
May.
I think we'd better leave that door closed, Big Mama, till after the talk.
Big Mama.
Reverend Tooker, will you please open that door?
Reverend Tooker.
I sure will, Big Mama.
May. I just didn't think we ought to take any chance of Big Daddy hearing a word of this discussion.
Big Mama.
I swan! Nothing's gonna be said in Big Daddy's house that he can't hear if he wants to.
Gooper.
Well, Big Mama, it's...
May gives him a quick hard poke to shut him up. He glares at her fiercely as she circles before him like a burlesque ballerina, raising her skinny bare arms over her head, jangling her bracelets, exclaiming, May.
A breeze! A breeze!
Reverend Tooker.
I think this house is the coolest house in the Delta. Did you all know that Halsey Banks's widow put air conditioning units in the church and rectory at Fry's Point in memory of Halsey?
General conversation has resumed. Everybody is chatting so that the stage sounds like a big birdcage. Gooper.
Too bad nobody cools your church off for you. I bet you sweating that pulpit these hot Sundays, Reverend Tooker.
Reverend Tooker.
Yes, my vestments are drenched.
May, at the same time to Dr. Baugh.
You think those vitamin B12 injections are what they're cracked up to be, Doc Baugh?
Dr. Baugh.
Well, if you want to be stuck with something, I guess they're as good to be stuck with as anything else.
Big Mama at gallery door.
Maggie, Maggie, aren't you coming with Brick?
May, suddenly and loudly, creating a silence.
I have a strange feeling. I have a peculiar feeling.
Big Mama, turning from gallery.
What feeling?
May,
that Brick said something he shouldn't have said to Big Daddy.
Big Mama.
Now, what on earth could Brick have said to Big Daddy that he shouldn't say?
Gooper.
Big Mama, there's something.
May.
Now wait!
She rushes up to Big Mama and gives her a quick hug and kiss. Big Mama pushes her impatiently off as the Reverend Tooker's voice rises serenely in a little pocket of silence. Reverend Tooker.
Yes, last Sunday the gold in my chasuble faded into the purple.
Gooper.
Reverend, you must have been preaching hell's fire last Sunday.
He guffaws at this witticism, but the Reverend is not sincerely amused. At the same time, Big Mama has crossed over to Dr. Baugh and is saying to him, Big Mama, her breathless voice rising high-pitched above the others,
In my day, they had what they call the Keeley cure for heavy drinkers, but now I understand they just take some kind of tablets. They call them anti-bust tablets. But Brick don't need to take nothing.
Brick appears in gallery doors with Margaret behind him. Big Mama, unaware of his presence behind her.
That boy has just broken up over Skipper's death,
You know how poor Skipper died? They gave him a big, big dose of that sodium amytal stuff at his home, and then they called the ambulance and give him another big, big dose of it at the hospital, and that and all of the alcohol in his system for months and months and months just proved too much for his heart. I'm scared of needles. I'm more scared of a needle than the knife. I think more people have been needled out of this world than...
She stops short and wheels about.
Oh, here's Brick, my precious baby.
She turns upon Brick with short, fat arms extended, at the same time uttering a long, short sob, which is both comic and touching. Brick smiles and bows slightly, making a burlesque gesture of gallantry for Maggie to pass before him into the room. Then he hobbles on his crutch directly to the liquor cabinet, and there is absolute silence, with everybody looking at Brick, as everybody has always looked at Brick when he spoke or moved or appeared. One by one, he drops ice cubes in his glass. Then suddenly, but not quickly, looks back over his shoulder with a wry, charming smile and says, Brick, I'm sorry. Anyone else? Big Mama, sadly,
No, son. I wish you wouldn't.
Brick, I wish I didn't have to, Big Mama, but I'm still waiting for that click in my head, which makes it all smooth out.
Big Mama,
oh, Brick, you break my heart.
Margaret, at the same time,
Brick, go sit with Big Mama.
Big Mama,
I just can't stand it.
She sobs.
May, now that we're all assembled.
Gooper,
we can talk.
Big Mama,
breaks my heart.
Margaret,
sit with Big Mama, Brick, and hold a hand.
Big Mama sniffs very loudly three times, almost like three drum beats in the pocket of silence.
Brick, you do that, Maggie. I'm a restless cripple. I got to stay on my crutch.
Brick hobbles to the gallery door, leans there as if waiting. May sits beside Big Mama while Gooper moves in front and sits on the end of the couch, facing her. Reverend Tooker moves nervously into the space between them on the other side. Dr. Baugh stands looking at nothing in particular and lights a cigar. Margaret turns away.
Big Mama.
Why y'all all surrounded me like this? Why y'all staring at me like this and making signs at each other?
Reverend Tooker steps back, startled.
May. Calm yourself, Big Mama.
Big Mama.
Calm yourself, yourself, sister woman. How could I calm myself with everyone staring at me as if big drops of blood had broken out on my face? What's all this about? Huh? What?
Gooper coughs and takes a center position.
Gooper.
Now, Doc Ball.
May.
Doc Ball?
Brick suddenly, shh. Then he grins and chuckles and shakes his head regretfully.
No, that wasn't the click.
Gooper.
Brick, shut up or stay out there on the gallery with your liquor. We got to talk about a serious matter. Big Mama wants to know the complete truth about the report we got today from the Ochsner Clinic.
May, eagerly.
On Big Daddy's condition?
Gooper.
Yes, on Big Daddy's condition. We got to face it.
Dr. Baugh.
Well,
Big Mama. Terrified, rising.
Is there something that I don't know?
In these few words, this startled, very soft question, Big Mama reviews the history of her 45 years with Big Daddy, her great, almost embarrassingly true-hearted and simple-minded devotion to Big Daddy, who must have had something Brick has, who made himself loved so much by the simple expedient of not loving enough to disturb his charming detachment, also once coupled, like Brick's, with virile beauty. Big Mama has a dignity at this moment. She almost stops being fat. Dr. Baugh, after a pause, uncomfortably,
Yes, well,
Big Mama,
I want to know.
Immediately, she thrusts her fist to her mouth as if to deny that statement. Then, for some curious reason, she snatches the withered corsage from her breast and hurls it on the floor and steps on it with her short, fat feet.
Somebody must be lying. I want to know.
May.
Sit down, Big Mama. Sit down on this sofa.
Margaret, quickly. Brick, go sit with Big Mama.
Big Mama.
What is it? What is it?
Dr. Baugh.
I never have seen a more thorough examination than Big Daddy Pollitt was given in all my experience with the Ochsner Clinic.
Gooper.
It's one of the best in the country.
May.
It's the best in the country, bar none.
For some reason, she gives Gooper a violent poke as she goes past him. He slaps at her hand without removing his eyes from his mother's face.
Dr. Baugh. Of course, they were 99 9/10% sure before they even started.
Big Mama.
Sure of what? Sure of what? Sure of what? What?
She catches her breath in a startled sob. May kisses her quickly. She thrusts May fiercely away from her, staring at the doctor.
May.
Mommy, be a brave girl.
Brick, in the doorway, softly.
By the light of the silvery moon.
Gooper.
Shut up, Brick.
Brick.
Sorry.
He wanders out on the gallery. Dr. Baugh.
But now, you see, Big Mama, they cut a piece off this growth, a specimen of the tissue, and,
Big Mama.
Growth? You told Big Daddy.
Dr. Baugh.
Now wait.
Big Mama, fiercely.
You told me and Big Daddy there wasn't a thing wrong with him, but...
May.
Big Mama, they always...
Gooper.
Let Doc Baugh talk, will you?
Big Mama.
Little spastic condition of...
Her breath gives out in a sob. Dr. Baugh.
Yes, that's what we told Big Daddy. But we had this bit of tissue run through the laboratory, and I'm sorry to say the test was positive on it. It's, well, malignant.
Pause.
Big Mama.
Cancer.
Cancer?
Dr. Baugh nods gravely. Big Mama gives a long, gasping cry. May and Gooper.
Now, Big Mama, you had to know.
Big Mama.
Why didn't they cut it out of him? Huh?
Dr. Baugh.
Involved too much, Big Mama. Too many organs affected.
May.
Big Mama, the liver's affected and so's the kidneys. Both. It's gone way past what they call a...
Gooper.
A surgical risk.
May.
Uh-huh.
Big Mama draws a breath like a dying gasp. Reverend Tooker. Dr. Baugh.
Yes, it's gone past the knife.
May.
That's why he's turned yellow, Mommy.
Big Mama.
Get away from me. Get away from me, May.
She rises abruptly.
I want Brick. Where's Brick? Where's my only son?
May.
Mama, did she say only son?
Gooper.
What does that make me?
May.
A sober, responsible man with 5 precious children. 6.
Big Mama.
I want Brick to tell me. Brick. Brick.
Margaret, rising from her reflections in a corner.
Brick was so upset he went back out.
Big Mama.
Brick.
Margaret.
Mama, let me tell you.
Big Mama.
No, leave me alone. You're not my blood.
Gooper.
Mama, I'm your son. Listen to me.
May.
Gooper's your son, Mama. He's your firstborn.
Big Mama.
Gooper never liked Daddy.
May. May, as if terribly shocked.
That's not true.
There's a pause. The minister coughs and rises. Reverend Tooker to May.
I think I'd better slip away at this point.
May, sweetly and sadly.
Yes, Dr. Tooker, you go.
Reverend Tooker, discreetly.
Good night. Good night, everybody, and God bless you all on this place.
He slips out. Dr. Baugh.
That man is a good man, but lacking in tact. Talking about people giving memorial windows. If he mentioned one memorial window, he must have spoke of a dozen. And saying how awful it was when somebody died interstate, the legal wrangles and so forth.
May coughs and points at Big Mama.
Dr. Baugh. Well, Big Mama,
Big Mama.
It's all a mistake. I know it's just a bad dream.
Dr. Baugh. We're going to keep Big Daddy as comfortable as we can. Big Mama.
Yes, it's just a bad dream. That's all it is. It's just an awful dream.
Gooper.
In my opinion, Big Daddy's having some pain but won't admit that he has it.
Big Mama.
Just a dream. A bad dream.
Dr. Baugh.
That's what lots of them do. They think if they don't admit they're having the pain, they can sort of escape the fact of it.
Gooper, with relish.
Yeah, they get sly about it. They get real sly about it.
May.
Gooper and I think.
Gooper.
Shut up, May. Big Daddy ought to be started on morphine.
Big Mama.
Nobody's going to give Big Daddy morphine.
Dr. Baugh.
Now, Big Mama, when that pain strikes, it's going to strike mighty hard, and Big Daddy's going to need the needle to bear it.
Big Mama.
I tell you, nobody's going to give him morphine.
May.
Big Mama, you don't want to see Big Daddy suffer. You know you...
Gooper, standing beside her, gives her a savage poke.
Dr. Baugh, placing a package on the table.
I'm leaving this stuff here, so if there's a sudden attack, you all won't have to send out for it.
May.
I know how to give a hypo.
Gooper.
May took a course in nursing during the war.
Margaret.
Somehow I don't think Big Daddy would want May to give him a hypo.
May.
You think he'd want you to do it?
Dr. Baugh rises. Gooper.
Dr. Ball's going.
Dr. Baugh.
Yes, I got to be going.
Well, keep your chin up, Big Mama.
Gooper, with jocularity.
She's going to keep both chins up, aren't you, Big Mama?
Big Mama sobs.
Now stop that, Big Mama.
May.
Sit down with me, Big Mama.
Gooper, at door with Dr. Baugh.
Well, Doc, we sure do appreciate all you've done. I'm telling you, we're surely obligated to you for...
Dr. Baugh has gone out without a glance at him.
Gooper.
I guess that doctor's got a lot on his mind, but it wouldn't hurt him to act a little more human.
Big Mama sobs.
Now, be a brave girl, Mommy.
Big Mama.
It's not true. I know that it's just not true.
Gooper.
Mama, those tests are infallible.
Big Mama.
Why are you so determined to see your father dead?
May.
Big Mama.
Margaret, gently.
I know what Big Mama means.
May, fiercely.
Oh, do you?
Margaret, quietly and very sadly.
Yes, I think I do.
May.
For a newcomer in the family, you sure do show a lot of understanding.
Margaret.
Understanding is needed on this place.
May.
I guess you must have needed a lot of it in your family, Maggie, with your father's liquor problem, and now you got Brick with his.
Margaret.
Brick does not have a liquor problem at all. Brick is devoted to Big Daddy. This thing is a terrible strain on him.
Big Mama.
Brick is Big Daddy's boy, but he drinks too much, and it worries me and Big Daddy, and Margaret, you've got to cooperate with us. You've got to cooperate with Big Daddy and me in getting Brick straightened out, because it'll break Big Daddy's heart if Brick don't pull himself together and take hold of things.
May.
Take hold of what things, Big Mama?
Big Mama.
The place.
There's a quick, violent look between May and Gooper. Gooper.
Big Mama, you've had a shock.
May.
Yes, we've all had a shock, but...
Gooper.
Let's be realistic.
May.
Big Daddy would never be foolish enough to...
Gooper.
Put this place in irresponsible hands.
Big Mama.
Big Daddy ain't gonna leave this place in anybody's hands. Big Daddy is not gonna die. I want you to get that in your heads, all of you.
May.
Mommy, Mommy, Big Mama, we're just as hopeful and optimistic as you are about Big Daddy's prospects. We have faith in prayer, but nevertheless, there are certain matters that have to be discussed and dealt with, because otherwise...
Gooper.
Eventualities have to be considered, and now's the time. May, will you please get my briefcase out of our room?
May.
Yes, honey.
She rises and goes out through the hall door. Gooper, standing over Big Mama.
Now, Big Mama, what you said just now was not at all true, and you know it. I've always loved Big Daddy in my own quiet way. I never made a show of it, and I know that Big Daddy has always been fond of me in a quiet way, too, and he never made a show of it neither.
May returns with Gooper's briefcase.
May, here's your briefcase, Gooper, honey.
Gooper handing the briefcase back to her.
Thank you. Of course, my relationship with Big Dad is different from Brick's.
May, you're 8 years older than Brick and always had to carry a bigger load of the responsibilities than Brick ever had to carry. He never carried a thing in his life but a football or a highball.
Gooper.
May, will you let me talk, please?
May.
Yes, honey.
Gooper.
Now, a 28,000-acre plantation's a mighty big thing to run.
May.
Almost single-handed.
Margaret has gone out onto the gallery and can be heard calling softly to Brick.
Big Mama.
You never had to run this place. What are you talking about? As if Big Daddy was dead and in his grave. You had to run it? Why, you just helped him out with a few business details and had your law practice at the same time in Memphis.
May.
Oh, Mommy, Mommy, Big Mommy, let's be fair. Why, Gooper's given himself body and soul to keeping this place up for the past 5 years since Big Daddy's health started failing. Gooper won't say it. Gooper never thought of it as a duty. He just did it. And what did Brick do? Brick kept living in his past glory at college. Still a football player, 27.
Margaret, returning alone.
Who are you talking about now? Brick? A football player? He isn't a football player, and you know it. Brick is a sports announcer on TV and one of the best-known ones in the country.
May.
I'm talking about what he was.
Margaret.
Well, I wish you would just stop talking about my husband.
Gooper.
I've got a right to discuss my brother with other members of my own family, which don't include you. Why don't you go out there and drink with Brick?
Margaret.
I've never seen such malice toward a brother.
Gooper.
How about his for me? Why, he can't stand to be in the same room with me.
Margaret.
This is a deliberate campaign of vilification for the most disgusting and sordid reason on earth, and I know what it is. It's avarice. Avarice. Greed. Greed.
Big Mama.
Oh, I'll scream. I will scream in a moment unless this stops.
Gooper has stalked up to Margaret with clenched fists at his sides as if he would strike her. May distorts her face again into a hideous grimace behind Margaret's back.
Margaret. We only remain on the place because of Big Mom and Big Daddy. If it's true what they say about Big Daddy, we're going to leave here just as soon as it's over. Not a moment later.
Big Mama sobs.
Margaret, child, come here. Sit next to Big Mama.
Margaret.
Precious Mommy, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
She bends her long, graceful neck to press her forehead to Big Mama's bulging shoulder under its black chiffon.
Gooper.
How beautiful, how touching, this display of devotion.
May.
Do you know why she's childless? She's childless because that big, beautiful athlete husband of hers won't go to bed with her.
Gooper.
You just won't let me do this in a nice way, will you?
All right, May.
All right. May and I have 5 kids with another one coming. I don't give a damn if Big Daddy likes me or don't like me or did or never did or will never. I'm just appealing to a sense of common decency and fair play. I tell you the truth, I've resented Big Daddy's partiality to Brick ever since Brick was born, and the way I've been treated like I was just barely good enough to spit on and sometimes not even good enough for that. Big Daddy's dying of cancer. And it's spread all through him, and it's attacking all his vital organs, including the kidneys. And right now he's sinking into uremia. And you all know what uremia is. It's poisoning of the whole system due to the failure of the body to eliminate its poisons.
Margaret, to herself downstage hissingly.
Poisons. Poisons. Venomous thoughts and words.
in hearts and minds, that's poisons.
Gooper, overlapping her,
I'm asking for a square deal, and I expect to get one. But if I don't get one, if there's any peculiar shenanigans going on around here behind my back or before me, well, I'm not a corporation lawyer for nothing. I know how to protect my own interests. Oh, a late arrival.
Brick enters from the gallery with a tranquil, blurred smile, carrying an empty glass with him. May.
Behold, the conquering hero comes.
Gooper.
The fabulous Brick Pollitt. Remember him? Who could forget him?
May.
He looks like he's been injured in a game.
Gooper.
Yep, I'm afraid you'll have to warm the bench at the Sugar Bowl this year, Brick.
May laughs shrilly.
Or was it the Rose Bowl that he made that famous run in?
May.
The Punch Bowl, honey. It was in the Punch Bowl. The cut glass Punch Bowl.
Gooper.
Oh, that's right. I'm getting the bowls mixed up.
Margaret.
Why don't you stop venting your malice and envy on a sick boy?
Big Mama.
Now you two hush. I mean it. Hush, all of you, hush.
Gooper.
All right, Big Mama. A family crisis brings out the best and the worst in every member of it.
May.
That's the truth.
Margaret. Amen. Big Mama.
I said, hush. I won't tolerate any more catty talk in my house.
May gives Gooper a sign indicating briefcase. Brick's smile has grown both brighter and vaguer. As he prepares a drink, he sings softly. Brick.
Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. I had a little drink about an hour ago.
Gooper at the same time.
Big Mama, you know it's necessary for me to go back to Memphis in the morning to represent the Parker estate in a lawsuit.
May sits on the bed and arranges papers she's taken from the briefcase. Brick, continuing the song,
wherever I may roam, on land or sea or foam.
Big Mama.
Is it Gooper?
May.
Yes.
Gooper.
That's why I'm forced to bring up a problem that...
May.
Something that's too important to be put off.
Gooper.
If Brick was sober, he ought to be in on this.
Margaret.
Brick is present. We're here.
Gooper.
We're good. I will now give you this outline my partner, Tom Bullitt, and me have drawn up. A sort of dummy trusteeship.
Margaret.
Oh, that's it. You'll be in charge and dole out remittances, will you?
Gooper.
This we did as soon as we got the report on Big Daddy from the Ochsner Laboratories. We did this thing. I mean, we drew up this dummy outline with the advice and assistance of the chairman of the board of directors of the Southern Planters Bank and Trust Company in Memphis, C.C. Bellas, a man who handles estates for all the prominent families in West Tennessee and the Delta.
Big Mama.
Gooper.
Gooper, crouching in front of Big Mama.
Now, this is not final or anything like it. This is just a preliminary outline, but it does provide a basis, a design, a possible feasible plan.
Margaret.
Yes, I'll bet.
May.
It's a plan to protect the biggest estate in the Delta from irresponsibility and...
Big Mama.
Now, you listen to me. All of you, you listen here. There's not going to be any more catty talk in my house. And Gooper, you put that away before I grab it out of your hand and tear it right up. I don't know what the hell's in it, and I don't want to know what the hell's in it. I'm talking in Big Daddy's language now. I'm his wife, not his widow. I'm still his wife, and I'm talking to you in his language and...
Gooper.
Big Mama, what I have here is...
May.
Gooper, explain that it's just a plan.
Big Mama.
I don't care what you got there. Just put it back where it came from and don't let me see it again. Not even the outside of the envelope of it. Is that understood? Basis, plan, preliminary, design. I say, what is it Big Daddy always says when he's disgusted?
Brick from the bar. Big Daddy says crap when he's disgusted.
Big Mama, rising.
That's right. Crap! I say crap, too, like Big Daddy.
May, coarse language doesn't seem called for in this...
Gooper.
Something in me is deeply outraged by hearing you talk like this.
Big Mama.
Nobody's gonna take nothing till Big Daddy lets go of it, and maybe, just possibly, not even then. No, not even then.
Brick.
You can always hear me singing this song. Show me the way to go home.
Big Mama.
Tonight, Brick looks like he used to look when he was a little boy, just like he did when he played wild games and used to come home all sweaty and pink-cheeked and sleepy with his red curls shining.
She comes over to him and runs her fat, shaky hand through his hair. He draws aside as he does from all physical contact and continues the song in a whisper, opening the ice bucket and dropping in the ice cubes one by one as if he were mixing some important chemical formula.
Big Mama continuing, time goes by so fast, nothing can outrun it. Death commences too early, almost before you're half acquainted with life. You meet with the other. Oh, you know, we just got to love each other and stay together, all of us, just as close as we can, especially now that such a black thing has come and moved into this place without invitation.
Awkwardly embracing Brick, she presses her head to his shoulder. Gooper has been returning papers to May, who has restored them to the briefcase with an air of severely tried patience. Gooper.
Big Mama! Big Mama!
He stands behind her, tense with sibling envy. Big Mama, oblivious of Gooper.
Brick, you hear me, don't you?
Margaret.
Brick hears you, Big Mama. He understands what you're saying.
Big Mama.
Oh, Brick, son of Big Daddy, Big Daddy does so love you. You know what would be his fondest dream come true? If before he passed on, if Big Daddy has to pass on, you gave him a child of yours, a grandson, as much like his son is like Big Daddy.
May, popping briefcase shut, an incongruous sound,
such a pity that Maggie and Brick can't oblige.
Margaret, suddenly and quietly but forcefully.
Everybody listen.
She crosses to the center of the room, holding her hands rigidly together.
May. Listen to what, Maggie?
Margaret.
I have an announcement to make.
Gooper.
A sports announcement, Maggie?
Margaret.
Brick and I are going to have a child.
Big Mama catches her breath in a loud gasp. Pause. Big Mama rises. Big Mama.
Maggie! Brick! Oh, this is too good to believe!
May.
That's right. Too good to believe.
Big Mama.
Oh, my. This is Big Daddy's dream. His dream come true. I'm gonna tell him right now before he...
Margaret.
We'll tell him in the morning. Don't disturb him now.
Big Mama.
I want to tell him before he goes to sleep. I'm going to tell him his dreams come true this minute. And Brick, a child will make you pull yourself together and quit this drinking.
She seizes the glass from his hand.
The responsibilities of a father will...
Her face contorts and she makes an excited gesture. Bursting into sobs, she rushes out crying.
I'm going to tell Big Daddy right this minute.
Her voice fades out down the hall. Brick shrugs slightly and drops an ice cube into another glass. Margaret crosses quickly to his side, saying something under her breath, and she pours the liquor for him, staring up almost fiercely into his face.
Brick, coolly,
thank you, Maggie. That's a nice big shot.
May has joined Gooper, and she gives him a fierce poke, making a low hissing sound and a grimace of fury. Gooper, pushing her aside,
Brick! Could you possibly spare me one small shot of that liquor?
Brick.
Why, help yourself, Gooper boy.
Gooper.
I will.
May, shrilly.
Of course we know that this is...
Gooper.
Be still, May.
May.
I won't be still. I know she's made this up.
Gooper.
Damn it! I said to shut up!
Margaret.
Gracious! I didn't know that my little announcement was going to provoke such a storm.
May, that woman isn't pregnant.
Gooper, who said she was?
May, she did.
Gooper,
the doctor didn't. Doc Ball didn't.
Margaret, I haven't gone to Doc Ball.
Gooper, then who'd you go to, Maggie?
Margaret,
one of the best gynecologists in the South.
Gooper,
I see.
He takes out pencil and notebook.
May we have his name, please?
Margaret,
no, you may not, Mr. Prosecuting Attorney.
May,
he doesn't have any name. He doesn't exist.
Margaret,
oh, he exists all right, and so does my child, Brick's baby.
May,
you can't conceive a child by a man that won't sleep with you unless you think you're...
Brick has turned on the phonograph. A scat song cuts May's speech.
Gooper, turn that thing off.
May,
we know it's a lie because we hear you in here. He won't sleep with you. We hear you. So don't imagine you're going to put a trick over on us to fool a dying man with a...
A long-drawn cry of agony and rage fills the house. Margaret turns phonograph down to a whisper. The cry is repeated.
May, awed, did you hear that, Gooper? Did you hear that?
Gooper,
sounds like the pain is struck.
May,
go see Gooper.
Gooper,
come along and leave these lovebirds together in their nest.
He goes out first. May follows but turns at the door, contorting her face and hissing at Margaret.
May, liar!
She slams the door. Margaret exhales with relief and moves a little unsteadily to catch hold of Brick's arm. Margaret,
thank you for...